Hello, this is Lincoln reading the Iroquois County Times Republic for Thursday, June 12, 2025. At the top of the front page, we have Martinton Woman Named New Animal Control Administrator for Iroquois County by Carla Waters, Managing Editor. The Iroquois County Board, June the 10th, approved a new animal control administrator. Angela Frary is from Martinton and began her duties May 19th. She has been appointed until May of 2027. In the Health Committee report, it was noted that County Board member Donna Crow will meet with Frary to discuss budget items. The June 3rd committee report, read at the county board meeting, indicates that Frary reported registration deposits for May at $4,464. The animal control officers closed 31 cases in May. The closed cases consisted of 1 bat, 5 bite reports, 3 well checks, 14 dogs running loose, 2 injured dogs, 4 aggressive dogs, 1 dog-on-dog attack, 1 lost dog, 1 found dog, and 3 relinquishment inquiries. There was also 1 animal sent to Wild Animal Control and 1 animal sent to the Department of Natural Resources. There are 7 animals going to eye care. 2 animals have been rehomed, and 1 animal is being fostered. Finance Manager Jill Johnson will assist Frary through November 30th. The Health Committee will also be looking at capital improvements for the Animal Control Building and ways to bring in extra revenue. Iroquois County approves bid for bridge work by Carla Waters, Managing Editor. The Iroquois County Board, June 10th, approved a bid for a bridge in the Ashcombe area. The bid from Iroquois Paving Corporation for Bridge 800 North was $745,825, which the Highway Committee noted in its June 5th meeting was less than the first bid received last month, was forwarded to the Board by the Highway Committee and approved by the County Board at its June 10th meeting. Some Rebuild Illinois funds for Chabannes Township and Ashcombe Township are being used for the project. Those funds have a June 30, 2025 deadline to be used. Mike Thompson with Chabannes Township Road District and Adam Weber with Ashcombe Township Road District spoke about the matter in public comment. As you are aware, we have on the table today to approve bids from IPC for the bridge, Thompson said. He said there is 1 property with a house and 30 acres, another 70 acres that is farmed, and another piece of property that is farmed by another person. We are here to support it, Thompson said, noting that the project has been discussed and looked at by engineers and the cost has continued to go up. It got held up by the Historical Society for over 2 years, he said. Then it went into about a $175,000 project. This continued for the last 8 to 10 years. Every time it went back the next year, IDOT had to put more numbers to it. They had to put more riprap to it, and different engineer looked at it. We had prices, and now we are up to almost $750,000. I hate to say it, but we have to stop the bleeding. If we don't do it today, next year, it's going to be $850,000. And we will lose, as you know, roughly $550,000 in federal funding, which will come out of our pocket in the future. He said he knew that there would be no comment from the county board members during public comment, but invited them to ask questions later if they wished. It's not something that was dreamed up last night to build this bridge. It's been a long time coming, he said. I apologize for being part of a very expensive situation for a little piece of the pie, but we have the obligation to give somebody access to their land that has always been accessed in the past. When the county board voted at the June 10th meeting, it was noted that the local portion was $216,274.86 and would be split about the local entities. The board approved the measure with Jed Whitlow absent and Raymond Williams voting no. Williams had voiced in committee meetings, according to meeting minutes, that he would like to see that money spent on another project. About 700 tickets sold for Circus in Wauseka, June the 9th, by Carla Waters, managing editor. About 700 tickets were sold at the Culpeper and Merriweather Circus in Wauseka, June 9th. The event was hosted by the Wauseka Family Festival and conducted in the grass lot east of the baseball field at Legion Park. The day started with people being able to watch the tent raising and tour. Those who wished to take a look around could get a behind-the-scenes tour where they learned about how the animals are cared for and what it is like to be part of a circus. The midway opened in the afternoon with pony rides, a concession stand, a slide, and other inflatables and more. There were two shows in the evening with performances featuring Trey Key and the Big Cats, aerialist Simone, the Perez Daredevil duo, the Macias family and their hand and foot juggling, and Leo Acton, the circus clown. Jason Cahoe, president of the Wauseka Family Festival, said, "Everyone seemed to really enjoy the shows. For the price of admission, they put on a great show that lasted over an hour." The circus performed in Goodland, Indiana, June 10th, and will be in Chabanne's June the 21st and the 22nd, sponsored by Chabanne's American Legion and Village of Chabanne's at the Chabanne's American Legion Park. And there's two pictures, one of the crowd under the big tent waiting for the show to start, another with Trey Key working with one of the big cats. Iroquois County Board approves liquor licenses, by Carla Waters, managing editor. The Iroquois County Board approved liquor licenses for the coming year. The licenses are approved from July 1, 2025 to June 30, 2026. These include Buckley American Legion Post 432 Club, the Larrable Corp. Incorporated, doing business as the Long Branch, 1 a.m., Shagbark Golf and Country Club, Onarga, club sale before noon on Sunday. Shawami Country Club, Sheldon, 1 a.m., sale before noon on Sunday, and also a raffles and poker run license. DX3 Inc., doing business as the Isles, Buckley, 2 a.m. Hideout Bar and Bait Inc., Beaverville, 2 a.m., sale before noon on Sunday. Coronis LLC, Beans and Barley Brews Series, 1 a.m., sale before noon on Sunday. Topper LLC, doing business as the Topper, Wauseka, 2 a.m., sale before noon on Sunday. Artesia Brewing LLC, Thawville Class M, Lakeview Operations LLC, doing business as Lakeview Country Club, Loda, club sale before noon on Sunday. Crescent City Lot Owners Association of Spring Creek RV Park, raffles and poker run license. Shop the Park in Cisna Park will be June 14th. The Cisna Park Development Board has planned Shop the Park in Cisna Park for June 14th. The event will be from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. There will be music and food trucks with Tony Erasmus playing percussion. D. Brown will be signing autographs from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. More than 30 vendors are expected with fresh-cut flowers, farm produce, crafts, and more. The breakfast food stand will be available from CP LifeWise Academy, United Way, Success by Six will have free resources for families with little children. The events take place in the Village Park. More information can be found on the Shop of the Park Facebook page and cisnapark.com. This issue isn't going away. Illinois lawmakers delay pension reform again. By Ben Zielinski, Capital News, Illinois. Dateline Springfield. Public employees hired since 2011 must continue to wait for pension reform after Illinois lawmakers declined to take up the issue during the spring session. Lawmakers and labor unions have both expressed concern that benefits for Tier 2 employees, those who entered the public sector after 2011, are inadequate and that some workers in that category are in line to receive benefits out of compliance with federal law. Tier 2 benefits are less generous than those received by Tier 1 employees, who also had to work only 5 years to become vested compared to 10 years for Tier 2. But the state constitution prohibits diminishing benefits for people to whom they have already been guaranteed. But problems have arisen from Tier 2, according to a coalition of labor unions seeking reforms, including that the lower level of benefits makes public sector jobs less attractive and hurts recruitment and retention. Safe Harbor Test Illinois lawmakers have learned in recent years that Tier 2 benefits for some employees fail the Safe Harbor Social Security test, which requires that pension benefits be at least equal to Social Security benefits. If a pension system fails to meet that requirement, the employer must make up the difference. Officials from pension systems have said falling short of Safe Harbor would be costly, though exactly how much so is unclear. Despite more than a year of legislative hearings about pension reform and pushes to get it done in previous sessions, lawmakers left Springfield at the end of May without taking up the issue. This issue isn't going away, the We Are One Illinois Coalition of Labor Unions said in a statement. Public employees are leaving their professions and our state because they can't rely on a pension that ensures dignity in retirement. Public employee shortages have been reported all across Illinois, impacting critical services for our residents. Delaying a fix only makes the problem more costly and damaging. Reforms that fell flat. Reforms filed in late May in Senate Bill 1937 would have accomplished several of the union's goals had they passed. Cost of living adjustments would increase 3% annually, and people would have been able to retire as early as age 62 if they had maxed out on their pension. Age 67 is the standard retirement age under Tier 2. Many police officers and firefighters would be able to retire at 52 rather than 55, following 20 years of service under the proposal. To address the safe harbor issue, the bill called for increasing the limit on earnings for people entering the pension system between January 1, 2011 and January 1, 2027 to be equal to the Social Security wage base for that year. Beginning in 2027, the earnings limit could be no more than the Social Security wage base. The final average salary calculation would also be redefined for Tier 2 employees. The current maximum salary for Tier 2 employees is more than $40,000 below the Social Security salary base and has increased at half the rate of inflation. It's not clear how much addressing the safe harbor problem or broader pension reform will cost. But prior estimates last year by the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability found it cost $5 billion over the next, it could cost $5 billion over the next two decades to tie earnings to the Social Security wage base and improve the annual cost of living adjustment. Lowering the retirement age could also cost about $3 billion over that span. The bill also would have set a schedule to fully fund pensions by 2049 rather than reach 90% funding by 2045 as required by current law. Why it stalled? The bill quickly fizzled out when it was introduced, however, despite garnering more than 40 House Democratic co-sponsors. The governor's office said the bill's late introduction left little time for a full analysis, which in turn contributed to the bill's demise. While we were provided with a short summary of their ideas, the governor's office cannot and will not conduct any policy due diligence based on only a few bullets. Alex Huff, a spokesperson for Governor J.B. Pritzker, said in a statement, "When it comes to the long-term fiscal health of the state and meeting our pension obligations, the governor welcomes these discussions, but will not make major financial decisions that impact taxpayers without the opportunity and time to review the details." The union coalition argued the governor's office was part of discussions throughout the process. For more than a year, our coalition has engaged in good faith with lawmakers to address this critical issue, the We Are One Illinois Coalition said. Throughout, we communicated consistently with the governor's office and legislative leaders to develop a comprehensive, fiscally responsible solution that met their legislative criteria. Funding provided. Despite the reform's failure, lawmakers sought to address the problem with safe harbor in the budget. Part of the budget package created a new Tier 2 reserve fund that can be accessed if there are violations of the safe harbor law. Lawmakers approved $75 million for the fund this year, in line with Pritzker's proposal. Other pension reform was passed for Chicago police officers and firefighters. Lawmakers unanimously passed House Bill 3657 that aligns calculations of Tier 2 benefits for Chicago first responders with those in the rest of the state. Chicago officials warned the plan will cost the city billions, however. Both the budget and Chicago pension bill still need the governor's signature. Capital News Illinois is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news service that distributes state government coverage to hundreds of news outlets statewide. It is funded primarily by the Illinois Press Foundation and the Robert R. McCormick Foundation. And now to the obituaries. Darlene M. Shorty Courtney of Beaverville passed away May 21st, 2025, at Arcadia in Watseka. She was born August 18th, 1939, in Joliet, Illinois. She is the daughter of Irvin and Lorraine Skoglund Rovenhagen. Darlene married William Courtney on January 19th, 1963, in Bradley. She is survived by one daughter, Janine Jody Roberts of Beaverville, Illinois, and one son, William Bill Courtney of Kentland, Indiana, six grandchildren, Sonia R.G. Benner Courtney, Amber Courtney, Joshua Samantha Roth Irvin, Jesse Carley, Mallory Clayton Eden Irvin, Zachary Megan Wetzel Roberts, and 18 great-grandchildren. One sister survives, Betty Ramey of Rockford, Illinois. Also, four sisters-in-law and three brothers-in-law, Shirley Mullen of Paris, Illinois, Pam Rich Lawtonville of St. Anne, Illinois, Nancy Ed Hanen of Haines City, Florida, and Kathy Courtney of Watseka, Illinois. She was preceded in death by her parents, her husband, two brothers, Kyle Rovenhagen and Glenn Rovenhagen, two brothers-in-law, Thomas Courtney and Edward Courtney, and a great grandson, Colson Carley. Darlene was a hard worker, working several places, including Baker and Taylor and high-grade egg farm. Her and Bill enjoyed camping and fishing and having a few beers with family and friends, especially at the Beaverville pub. Upon her request, there is no service. There will be a celebration of life at a later date. Bruce A. Fox, age 77, of Boswell, passed away at 12:58 a.m. on June 4, 2025, at IU Hospital Arnett in Lafayette. Bruce was born on December 6, 1947, in Williamsport, Indiana. He was the son of Donald and Lillian Parrott Fox. He was raised in Warren County and then moved to Watseka, Illinois after his marriage to Judy Beckett on December 21, 1974, at the Boswell Church of Christ. They returned to the Boswell area in 2016 after retiring and had resided there. Bruce was a 1966 graduate of Seeger High School. He earned his bachelor's degree in accounting at Indiana State University in 1972. Bruce later attended University of Illinois to become a board-certified public accountant in 1970. Bruce worked at Clifton and Gunderson until opening Fox CPA Group in Watseka in 1999. He owned and operated Fox CPA Group for 40 years until his retirement in 2018. Bruce served in the U.S. Army Reserves from 1971 to 1977 and was a lifetime member of the American Legion. He attended Boswell Church of Christ. Bruce enjoyed golfing and socializing with friends. He attended NASCAR races and enjoyed watching the races on TV. Bruce was an avid fan of The King, Richard Petty. One of the highlights of Bruce's life was meeting Richard Petty in person and attending his driving experience. Bruce enjoyed hosting and attending family events. He especially enjoyed spending time with his grandkids. Surviving with his wife, Judy, are a daughter, Jade Price Dillon of Boswell, Indiana, brother Rick Fox, Jeanette of Boswell, Indiana, sister-in-laws Jan Fox of Danville, Illinois, and Sharon Fox of Williamsport, Indiana, mother-in-law Martha Beckett of Boswell, Indiana, two grandchildren, Beckett and Weston Price, nieces and nephews, Mitzi Fox, Susan Fanver, Jeff, Rick Fox, Kim, Brody Fox, Melissa, and Teal Summit David. Several great nieces and nephews. Bruce was preceded in death by his parents and two brothers, Michael Fox and Scott Fox. Visitation will be at Grady Funeral Home in Williamsport on Tuesday, June the 10th, 2025, from 11 a.m. until funeral service time at 1 p.m., with Mark Moorcraft, minister of the Boswell Church of Christ, officiating. Interment will follow at Highland Cemetery in Williamsport. Memorial contributions may be made to Victory Junction Camp, which was founded by the Petty family, Boswell Church of Christ, or Williamsport Christian Church. Online donation is available for Victory Junction at https://victoryjunction.org/donate/online, or by mail to 4500 Adams Way, Randleman, North Carolina, 27317. Online condolences may be made at www.gradyfuneralhome.com. Watseka Police Reports, June 2nd. Police were called to the 400 block of North 2nd Street for a disturbance at 12:17 a.m. Police were called to the 200 block of West Oak Street for a disturbance at 2:25 a.m. Police were called to East Fairman Avenue /South Belmont Street for a reckless driver at 2:55 p.m. Police were called to the 300 block of West Mulberry Street for a reckless driver at 8:41 p.m. Police conducted a welfare check in the 400 block of West Walnut Street at 10:17 p.m. June 3rd, police conducted a welfare check in the 400 block of West Walnut Street at 8 a.m. Police were out in the 100 block of North 2nd Street with an abandoned vehicle at 9:16 a.m. Police were called to the 700 block of West Walnut Street for unwanted people at 9:57 a.m. Police were called to the 300 block of South 4th Street in reference to a public service at 10:18 a.m. Police conducted a warrant check in the 700 block of East Locust Street at 11:40 a.m. Miller Grobe Christian M., 29, of Watseka, was arrested on an outstanding Will County warrant. Miller Grobe was transported to the Iroquois County Jail without incident. Police conducted a warrants check in the 500 block of West North Street at 12:46 p.m. Bosley Megan L., 42, of Watseka, was arrested on an outstanding Iroquois County warrant. Bosley was transported to the Iroquois County Jail without incident. Police conducted a warrant check in the 600 block of North 4th Street at 3:51 p.m. Allensworth, Peter J., 47, of Watseka, was arrested on an outstanding Iroquois County warrant. Allensworth was transported to the Iroquois County Jail without incident. Police conducted a warrant check in the 500 block of North 5th Street at 5:03 p.m. Huff Joshua D., 50, of Watseka, was arrested on an outstanding Iroquois County warrant. Huff was transported to the Iroquois County Jail without incident. Police conducted a warrant check in the 400 block of North 44th Street, North 4th Street, at 7:05 p.m. Powers, Louis J., 59, of Watseka, was arrested on an outstanding Iroquois County warrant. Powers was transported to the Iroquois County Jail without incident. Police were called to the 300 block of West North Street for a civil complaint at 8:03 p.m. Police were called to the 600 block of East Oak Street for suspicious activity at 9:43 p.m. Police conducted a welfare check at West Lafayette Street, North Madison Street, at 9:48 p.m. Police were out in the 400 block of South 4th Street for a juvenile complaint at 10:11 p.m. Police were called to the 300 block of North 6th Street for a civil complaint at 11:24 p.m. Police were out in the 300 block of West Hickory Street with a suspicious person at 11:56 p.m. June the 4th, police conducted a public service in the 500 block of South 10th Street at 6:29 a.m. Police were called to the 300 block of North 4th Street for a juvenile complaint at 11:21 a.m. Police were called to the 700 block of East Walnut Street for a civil complaint at 11:24 a.m. Police were called to the 200 block of West Hickory Street for a battery at 11:50 a.m. Police were called to the 100 block of East North Street for a domestic at 4:51 p.m. This has been Lincoln reading for you the Iroquois County Times Republic for Thursday, June the 12th, 2025. Have a great day.